Chapter 38. Preparing for the Night. Pipa observed the master. Ever since they had returned with a letter from Hong Yao Wu, he had been a flurry of activity, painting things red, knitting small caricatures of animals, or mixing some kind of dough. Today, though, there was an absolutely wonderful smell permeating the house. It was spicy and tantalizing, and it came from what the master called an oven. Oh, she could just eat it all up. These things intrigued her. The dough smelled absolutely divine. She wondered what the occasion was. Bidi thought he knew what was happening, but had said that he needed more time to confirm his thoughts. She had left him to his musings. The arrogant cock who had gotten her dear Chung Ki hurt was no more. He had shown proper remorse, and so she would treat him as a gentleman, and a gentleman was allowed time to properly convey themselves. Indeed, she was quite pleased with his transformation and repentance. He was almost enjoyable to be around now, instead of a morose boor. Tigu didn't know either, but acted like she did. Really, that kitten fooled no one. She was the most rattled by the master's revelation and story, yet pretended she was fine. Such a child, that one. A nasty, rude, and arrogant child, but a child all the same. Her dear Chung Ki had been at peace with the story, just as happy before the master's revelation. He just loved life, and this place let him live as he pleased. He received the training he wanted, the food he wanted, and the play he wanted, and so he was content. A simple, happy soul, her dear, even after the horrors visited upon him. As for herself, she didn't mind much either way. It was a lady's duty to take care of the household, however large that it might be. She didn't exactly know how she knew that, but it seemed right. Her dear lived here, and the master lived here, so she would remain. Even if she would occasionally have to perform some unladylike actions. The most recent interlopers had been disgusting. So disgusting, she was still getting bellyaches a week after they had been dealt with, and the pains had only started to subside after the master had given her some of Miss Mei Ling's stomach medicine. But now she was curious about the event that was occurring. The master seemed to sense their curiosity and had bid them gather in the main room. Even while she, the glutton, was collected. The slimy thing had the gall to call them similar. Nay, he was a nasty little bottom feeder, messy and gross, a beggar who wanted to get fat. She was a lady. Her bites were precisely as big as they were meant to be, and her appetite within all reasonable realms. Everyone knew that. The master paused in his work as they all entered, Hua Shi dangling from her mouth. She placed him gently against the floor. He made a rather sharp report as he slapped onto the floor, then began to whine piteously. She laid him down a second time, for good measure, just so that he could properly know he was at their destination. She ignored his blabbering and sat primly before the master. The master looked greatly amused by the arrival of Hua Shi.
"I'm guessing you want to know what's going on," the master asked.
She nodded with great dignity. He put down his needles and picked up Hua Shi. The slanderous glutton was put into his jar, and the master sat once more. "Well, I'll first ask you a question. Have you noticed the nights getting longer?" Bidi's eyes lit up, and the rooster nodded. She supposed they had been. The days had been much longer when she was a piglet, hadn't they?
"Well, soon it will be the longest night of the year. After then, the nights will start becoming shorter, the days longer, until the snow starts to melt and spring returns to us."
Ah, was that what Bidi meant as a cycle?
Bidi stood tall and vindicated, nodding his head.
How interesting. They would have to have a discussion over tea about these cycles later.
"On that night, there is a celebration. It is a time to be with family and friends as we stay together during the longest night. I would also like to ask for your cooperation. There is something that I would like to do. It reminds me of my home, and it shouldn't be disrespectful to the festival they already have. Where I am from, we, family and friends, give gifts to one another as a reaffirmation of friendship and our bonds, particularly to children. I wish to give these to the children of Hong Yao Wu because I received gifts when I was a child. Something fun on the deepest night of the year. I will need help from all of you." He paused and looked at Hua Shi.
"Well, almost all of you."
The glutton slapped his fins upon the edge of the jar, looking upset. The master sighed.
This would not be fun for you. You'd be in the jar all night.
Washi considered the master's words and slapped his fins again.
Well, if you think you can handle it, then you may come. No one should be left out of the proceedings.
They all nodded their heads. This seemed reasonable.
Tigu, however, looked angry.
Likely angry that the children got presents and not her.
Of course, I have gifts for all of you as well, the master said,
and Tigu's foul mood vanished as if it had never been.
Dear Chunki chuffed with excitement.
Even she was quite excited.
Oh my, I was not expecting this.
You have to wait until the longest night, though, which is what is normally called the solstice.
Her curiosity was satisfied, but she could tell that Tigu would be scouring the house later, trying to find her own present.
Washi looked similarly excited, bubbling happily.
The master sniffed the air and considered, before getting up and going to the oven. He removed the sheet of metal with his bare hands and placed it upon the table. The smell intensified, and drool nearly escaped her lips.
No, I am a lady, and ladies don't drool.
No matter how much she wanted to gobble them all up. The glutton was not so refined. His beady eyes locked onto the dough. The master turned around to place another sheet into the oven when he struck. His body coiled, and he launched himself from the jar towards the master's food. He was caught from the air without the master even looking.
Naughty boys and girls, however, get nothing, the master said sternly, and the glutton slumped in his hand, pathetically begging and groveling for the master's mercy. You will be on your best behavior or you will not be coming along, he continued. The decision was swift and brutal.
Washi nodded frantically. The master smiled at all of them. You can help me decorate some of the cookies. We'll save one for Rizu to decorate when she gets back.
Indeed, when the cookies were cooled, the master ground some sugar until it was but powder, then mixed it with water and an equally powdered piece of dried lemon peel. The master brought out a crystal.
Now, let's see how this thing works, he muttered.
After a few moments, as the master concentrated, the crystal began floating in the air. He nodded in satisfaction and then took the icing and spread it over the cookies. He arranged the cookies before a selection of dried fruits, nuts, and larger lumps of sugar. In front of all of them were crude representations of themselves. Even the master had two cookies in the shape of men.
Pipa daintily took each ingredient in her mouth, placing it against the frosting and sticking it fast. It was a passable rendition of herself.
Dear Chunki was distressed. He lacked the fine control to properly decorate the cookie, grunting softly as he tried to grab one of the pieces of colorful decoration, but only knocked over the container. But the master aided him, allowing himself to be her dear's hands. He let dear Chunki pick out the nuts he wanted and placed them accordingly, much to his enjoyment.
Tigu, of course, swiftly reconstructed herself in near perfection, her claws cutting and dicing the toppings to the proper size. She puffed up with pride when the master praised her skill, looking smugly down at them.
Bidi was humble. His rooster took on few decorations, only enough to add some color.
Washi, the glutton, had actually managed to restrain himself and gotten the master to help him as well, although his carp cookie looked more like an obese dragon and was covered with as many nuts as it would fit.
The master acted as Bidi did. His creations were humble but understandable, one of himself and one of his lady. The master took the crystal out of the air and studied it intently. He focused again, and an image came to life, projecting itself onto the wall. It was an image of them as they had been, the tray of cookies in front of them, sitting together. A moment captured in time.
I'm glad this worked, the master mused. A record of our first solstice together. May many more follow, he said, smiling at the vision.
The elegant pig stared, enraptured by the vision.
Ah, dear is even more handsome from this angle.
Now let us see how they taste. And Washi is already done. The master appeared amused by the crunching noises coming from the fish.
Pipa daintily placed the cookie in her mouth. Indeed, it was delicious.
Zhang Li, a voice called, and he opened his eyes. The patriarch has lifted some of your restrictions in light of your progress. You may leave the inner courtyard, but you are still confined to be within 50 li of the mountain.
Zhang Li's head bowed in acknowledgement.
Inside, Luban was content. Truly, he was a dragon amongst men. Even confined and suppressed, he had risen another stage, enough for the Shrouded Mountain to finally begin to put resources into him. The imprisonment was an irritating setback to his plan, but not insurmountable. The first few months had been hell. His father had slapped him across the face 30 times for the disgrace he brought to the Shrouded Mountain. The Patriarch had been so incensed that the old man had confined him to the inner courtyard in ripped and tattered robes so that he could be adequately shamed by the other disciples. They knew not what he had done, but they laughed anyway. The joke was on them. Luban had endured far worse than the stuck-up disciples could spew at him, and those that tried violence were swiftly suppressed by his superior combat skill. It was enough that the shame of being defeated in the Azure Hills, of all places, was beginning to fade. Luban had heard the whispers. The elders had begun to think of his defeat as if by a wandering, powerful cultivator instead of him having lost to a weakling. Slowly, the elders had stopped sneering, and his father had, in private, apologized for striking him so many times. He had said that it was just bad luck that he was caught by some powerful wanderer. For now, he rose. He would continue to rise. He would take everything that the world owed him. When the restrictions ended, he would be powerful. When the restrictions ended, he would have the full might of the Shrouded Mountain. When the restrictions ended, he would find the man named Jin and slay him. Luban would be so mighty, the other man would break himself on Luban's chest. He clenched his hand into a fist as he imagined it. He rose from where he was seated, having finished his cultivation for the day. He stared up at the sky, and a genuine smile overcame his lips. The longest night was upon them. How he loved the darkness it cast the world in.